Welcome to the next level. All right. Well, as you know, this is the first time we're doing this, and I just want to kind of set up a little bit about what you're going to experience tonight before we spend some time getting into full, like, high-energy worship. I hope you are ready to work out. I hope you're ready to work out, because that's what this is going to be. I've been praying about this day and just praying about this transition from last Wednesday to next level. And like we said on the weekend, if you heard us talk about it, it's categorically different. It's going to be a different experience. And so I've been thinking about this, and I just want to kind of give you three encouragements right off the bat to just set the tone. First of all, it is not a mistake. The lights are bright, and they're going to stay bright. This is not the weekend. This is not the weekend. First thing I want you to know is I want you to get ready to grow. I want you to get ready to grow. If you come and engage, you are going to grow. You're going to move. This is designed to help all of us take the next step, go to the next level with Jesus. So if that's what you're interested in, you're in the right place. Who's interested in that? Awesome. If you're not, this is going to be a really frustrating day for you. I'm just telling you right now, because we're going to be moving. Second thing is, like we said, this is not the weekend. We definitely want the weekend to continue to be a place where people can be all across the spectrum in terms of their journey with Jesus, what they believe about the Bible. We're making an assumption that if you're here and if you continue to hang with us in this, that you are in following Jesus and you want to grow. That's the assumption that we're making. So we're going to lean in that direction. And I'm really excited about that too. And I want you to know, we, and when I say we, I mean me, Erica, people who are going to be leading you, we're really going to be in coach mode. We're going to be in coach mode. So we're going to be pushing you. We're going to be challenging you. We're going to be repeating things because we want us all to grow. So, you know, I'm like known as the nicest person in the world. That's what some people say I am. You might get a little mean Chuck in next level. You might get a little like that coach that gets in your face because I want you to go to the next place. So just get ready for that. And it's all because we want all of us to get more of God. That's what we want. We want all of us to get more of God and our worship. Our music is going to be designed to help all of us get more of God. We want to lean in. We want to engage fully. In fact, I want you to know this tone is going to be a bit more challenging. This time of singing is going to be a bit more challenging because we want us all to move. We want us all to experience God in fuller ways. And so, Erica, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? How are we going to sing tonight? What are we going to sing? Why are we choosing those songs?
So usually on the weekends, we sing a lot of songs that talk about God, show me who I am to you, help me be brave, me and I, a lot of that language. And tonight, and for all of these next levels, we are going to focus on God and his character and who he is. And we're going to sing songs all about that so that we can just sit under who God is and let that change us and not be focused on ourselves as much. And tonight, you can clap for that.
You can. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
So it's going to feel like we're being trained. Even in the midst of singing, it's going to feel like we're being trained.
Totally. And usually if I open up last Wednesday, I tell people, I'm like, you guys, feel free to worship. Raise your hands. Dance a little bit if you feel like it. Tonight, I want to say do those things, not if you feel comfortable, just try something you're not comfortable with tonight, and I'm going to do the same, and we're going to do it together, and it's going to be really great.
Awesome. Who's ready? Let's get started.
Telling every way, and I'll sing it. I'll
skies that lift,
holy angels out in the before you. You guys sound beautiful. I love being able to see you. Can the video team throw that verse up? We're going to read this verse together, maybe out of your comfort zone, but I want you to do it with me. Here we go. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. All right, I'm going to sing.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing that again.
Deserve the glory.
my comfort zone. You guys can keep jamming on that chorus if you want. So it can be really great for me when I spend time with God or when I'm worshiping and singing songs. Sometimes I just raise my hands. I'm just like, God, I give this to you. I believe what I'm saying, and I surrender my life to you. And I just want to try that with you guys. Try raising your hands. We're going to sing this chorus again. Try just surrendering your life to God and saying these lyrics with your whole heart. That God, you are worthy of it all. Everything that I have comes from you, and it all goes back to you. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Here we go. Yours is the name above all names, Jesus, the beginning and the end, Jesus. Yours is the name above all names, Jesus, the beginning and the end, Jesus. And first verse again.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, like horses driven by kings.
Sing that again.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, like horses driven by kings.
You cover the mountains.
You cover the mountains, the valleys below, with the breath of your mighty wings.
You hold the reins.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, like horses driven by kings, yeah. You cover the mountains, the valleys below, the breath of your mighty wings. All treasures of heaven, all things of being known, are hidden inside your head. In this fortunate turn of events, you asked me to be your friend. You asked me to be your friend. 'Cause you are my first, you are my
amazing. You are good. You are mighty. You are my future and you are my past, God. And you are the beginning and the end. And all things are to you and from you. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for your presence in this room and for giving us courage to try new things, God. And I pray that you continue that work in us, that we could be fearless worshipers of you, God. Amen. Won't you guys have a seat? I'm proud of you guys.
That was sweet. we are going to be linked in live, not live via satellite, live via Ethernet cable to all different sites. So I was, I thought we were going right to 7:30. Am I on like right now over the whole hemisphere, over the whole Crossroads hemisphere?
Yes.
Oh, I got 2.5 minutes to waste.
Can we?
3.5. Oh, come on. Who wants to do another song? Come on now.
You guys, yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Kick us off, love.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For his good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For his good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Hey! stressed on. His love endures forever. For the life has been reborn. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
All right. Okay, you can have a seat in Oakley or Mason or Florence or Westside or Clifton, wherever you are. Go ahead and have a seat. We here at Oakley might have been in a little about 20 seconds late, so sorry. We're a little tardy. Won't have that. Is everyone having a fun time at the First Next Level service? Man. All right, so this is the beauty of technology. We get to be one church, all linked in at the same time, experiencing the same stuff. Although tonight, we're not going to experience carbon copy stuff because in a little bit, we're going to be handing it off to all of the campus pastors. We're going to be giving it to Mark up in Mason. Hey, let's thank Mark for the amazing job he's doing in Mason. And Chuck in Oakley. Let's thank Chuck for what he's got going on in Oakley. Terry Phillips, the only Asian in Northern Kentucky. Let's thank Terry Phillips. I don't know if he's the only one of the few. And I would say Greg McElfresh from the West Side, but he's on the beach, so his buddy Matt Welty is in today. So let's thank Matt and Greg in the West Side. And then from my very own loins, Lena Tome herself from Crossroads Clifton. So as we do the next level, sometimes it might be the same teacher goes to all sites. Sometimes it's going to be the individual campus pastors that are doing what's best for their site. But we're going to new ground today. New ground today. I want to give you a little context before we go to the next place here in our service. Colossians 1, 28 to 29 has been a life verse. It's been a theme verse for me. And it's relevant to what we've been experiencing at Crossroads for over 19 years. It says this, Him, who's the Him? Jesus. We proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. This verse says what we want to have happen at Crossroads, what we want to see happen at the next level. We don't look for more and more people to make ourselves feel good about having a larger and larger church. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for more and more people who we can teach, who we can admonish, who we can encourage to grow up into maturity to be like Jesus. That's what we do. And that's what we're trying to do here at Next Level. And to do this, we are toiling. We toil and labor. If you've been around Crossroads for 19 years, which a number of us have, you know that this Wednesday night slot, we've done a number of different things with it. We've given it a bunch of different names. We've done different things on the weekend. And it's not because we're trying to be willy-nilly or we're not sure what we want of things. Every time we make a change, it is hard labor. It is toilsome labor to present somebody complete in Christ. So we're toiling and trying new things because we don't want just on a Wednesday night a larger or a smaller subset of what happens on the weekend with more teaching and more music. That's not what we want. We want more people getting more complete in Christ. We want more people getting more mature in Christ. And so we just realized that as we amped up our worship a bit on the weekends to just keep doing more worship here, although we do communion here, we'll do communion here every Wednesday as we get together, next level, but to simply do sort of more of what's on the weekend with a different flair wasn't helping. We need new tools and new systems to get everyone who wants to grow spiritually to the next level. Who wants to go to the next level? Who wants it? Who wants it? Come on, come on. So I want to just encourage this process that we're on right now and say, hang with us. I think it's going to be really, really helpful. And I want to encourage you. You showed up here tonight. You showed up tonight for something different. And we're going to give you a lot of different things on these Wednesdays and everything in between. So, hey, well done. Well done. In fact, if you know somebody else who you know is stagnant in their walk with Christ, tell them to say, hey, you need to get your rear endus over to next level. This is what you need to do. So we hope you're going to be including people who are in your spheres of influence, and also understand that as we do this, the campus pastors at all of our different sites know how to speak best the unique language of those sites and are in touch with the unique needs in those sites. So we're excited to have the leadership of all the people I just mentioned, in addition to myself, who are engaged with this, and it's going to be a really great and really important time. So with that being said, let's turn it over to your leaders at all of your sites.
Thank you, brother. Oh, yes, yes. You know, one of the cool things about being in an environment like this is there's a little bit more of an opportunity for feedback. So while we were singing in Oakley, I got a text from one of you that I know. And I want to read this because I think this is the kind of thing we can expect God to reveal or show up in places like this. Somebody said, feel like I need to share this real quick. When we were just singing that last song, the song Forever God is Faithful, God called to mind the loud noise that took down Jericho. If you're not familiar with that story in the Bible, God took down the whole wall of a city simply by the screams and the shouts of his people calling his name out. Took down the walls of a city. And they said, and the noise we were making in that song will be part of the ripple that flips this city. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Michael, for sharing that. That's good, good news. So you're starting to get a feel that this is a little bit different, right? Yes, we're going to lean in this environment, a little bit more gritty. There's going to be an opportunity for more of us to interact and experience the power of God. You know, the weekends are for everyone, but in Next Level, we're focusing on those of us who say, I'm in, I've said yes to Jesus, and I want to go to, that's right, I want to go to the next level. I might do that a couple times tonight just to get you guys engaged a little bit. So this is a place for that. This is a place for you to go further in your relationship with God by growing in the character and competency of Jesus. Let me say that again. This is a place for you to go to the next level, go further with God by growing in your character and competency with Jesus, and we are very serious about that. We're very serious about that. So tonight, I want to give you vision. I want to give you a vision of maturity according to the Bible. We're going to be walking through a bunch of things in the Bible tonight that talk about maturity. I want to give you a vision of maturity. I want to give you a vision for how Next Level is going to help all of us get to that vision of maturity that God lays out for all of his kids. But the first thing I'm going to do is put you guys to work. So let's put that slide up again. If you haven't already, text Next Level, all one word, to 313131. So take out your phones, and you're going to be using your phones in here some. You're going to be using your phones as we send things back to you. So what you're doing now will both give you something, but it also opts you in to the communication stream via text that we're going to be using to help all of us outside of what happens in this room go to the next level. More on that later, but for right now, when you text next level, all one word, what you're going to get back is a link, and that link puts you into a survey, and that survey is for all of us to get a baseline of where are we right now. Based on some questions that are helpful for framing up the spiritual journey that we're on, when you get that survey, it will walk you through those questions. And so literally, I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to do the survey too. We're going to do that right now, and later tonight, if technology allows, we're going to actually see our results. So right now, go ahead and take out your phones if you haven't already. Text next level, all one word, to 313131. And when you get that link, how many people have the link? How many people are actively taking the survey right now? Awesome. Those people want to go to the next level. If you haven't done that already, please do that. Take out your phone if you have it. If you don't, you'll be able to do that when you get back. But text 313131. It's not helping you. We need technical support. This is the way a body works, right? We're a whole team. If somebody's had success, would you help somebody who hasn't had success? Make a friend. All caps. Next level, all caps. Awesome. Thank you for clarifying that. Sweet. Next level, all caps, 313131. Go ahead and take that survey. I think we've got some like cheesy elevator music to play while you're doing that, right, Dan? That's not cheesy elevator music. That sounds like a heartbeat. Gotten the link yet, you'll have an opportunity to do that later. Like if you didn't bring your phone, yep. One other thing, if you opted in, you'll get another text probably here in the next, I don't know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I'll let you know what to do with that one later, so you can just hang tight if another text comes through while I'm talking. So, all right, so we'll go ahead and jump in with tonight and the vision of maturity. First of all, welcome to the party, Kathy. Yes. Hey, what we're doing is going to be way more fun than what it looks like those people are having right there. I just want you to know that. This is going to be a fun experience, even though it'll be a focused experience that takes us to the next level. We want to be flexible. We're going to be trying some things like texting and doing surveys that way. And we just want to see how these things can be tools that connect us to each other and actually connect us further to God. So we're going to be doing that throughout our time because we want this to be a fruitful experience. So if you haven't heard, there's actually a curriculum that we're going to be following. So each month is going to build on the previous month. So it's not going to be like just you come one month, you get one thing, and then we kind of move into another direction. We're going to be focusing on particular things and building skills over time and building our character because that's actually what it means to mature in the scriptures. So we're going to look at a couple verses tonight that talk about maturity, and actually one of them Brian already referenced. And I want to just go back to that verse in Colossians, and I want to kick off here because this is Paul writing to believers, believers who he You could say had a role in bringing them to faith, and he actually wants to watch them grow in their faith. And as Brian said, Paul is saying in this verse, all the energy that God has given me, I am focusing it on one thing, and that is to present everyone, what's that word? Mature. I want everyone to be mature. That's what Paul is saying. He wants everyone to be mature. So maturity, the vision of maturity that we see in the scripture is this. There's an analog in the Bible to spiritual maturity, and in every way it really is kind of like physical maturity. Physical maturity. Jesus in John 3, Brian talked about this last weekend, John 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. So Jesus is describing something that happens when we come into a relationship with him, whether we're 15, 25, 35, 65, basically Jesus says you get reborn. Which means if you're day one of following Jesus, you're day one. You're in infancy stage. So in every way, we see this correlation between spiritual maturity and physical maturity. The only thing is, unlike physical maturity, which whether you want to or not, it just happens over time. Can I get an amen on that, right? Like if we could slow that bad boy down, we would. But it doesn't work like that with physical maturity. But here's the deal. Spiritual maturity doesn't just happen over time. Spiritual maturity requires something. It requires God working, and it requires us partnering with God, or else we will not spiritually mature. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Maturity is really made up of two things. The first is maturity is about your character. Maturity is about who you are. That's what character is. It's about who you are. Give you an example of character. So there's some things that, you know, as I've gotten older and looked at patterns in my family of origin, I just realized they run in my family. So people-pleasing runs in my family. There's a lot of people in my family who don't know how to say no and burn themselves out and extend themselves. That runs in my family, and I wrestled with that too. The other thing that runs in my family is avoiding conflict. That runs in my family. There's just stuff that doesn't ever get talked about. It just kind of festers, and, you know, you find out later that this is something that's been going on for 30, 40 years, and, you know, I'm inheriting it thinking that it's new, but it's like, oh, no, we just never dealt with this. Those things are called character defects, and they actually can run in your family. But here's the thing. The closer you get to Jesus, the more he snuggles up into your life, the more he starts to shine light on those character defects and call you to change. So the longer that I've walked with Jesus, he has continually dealt with me about this people-pleasing thing and said, Chuck, we got to stop that. We got to stop that. You can't be finding your identity in pleasing other people. You got to find your identity in me, which means you're going to have to learn to say no. Amen. Amen. Yes, you're going to have to learn to say no. So the closer we get to Jesus, the more he begins to work on our character, who we are at a core level, who we are. And that's part of what maturity looks like. But maturity is also about your competency. It's also about what you can do. So just some questions, just some things to think about. You know, I'm sure you probably were thinking about these in the car before you go in. How many of you guys know how to deal with demons? How many of you guys know how to deal with the devil? Yeah, you know, I mean, these are things, you know what? And that's for some of you, you're like, hold up. There's next level, Chuck, and then there's like next level, right? You know, where are we going here? Hey, what if I told you that dealing with the enemy, because the Bible clearly says we have an enemy, Satan is real, and there are demonic forces in the world. What if I told you those aren't PhD level Christian things, but that over time, mature followers of Jesus actually can deal with those things. That is actually a skill you can learn. That's what the Bible says about maturity. So maturity is also about what you can do. Do you know how to walk somebody through the Bible if they're dealing with an issue in their life and help them find biblical truth on a topic? Those aren't things that are specially reserved for paid professionals like me and Brian. I'm going to help Brian and I right now with some email volume. Those are not things that are selectively reserved for paid professionals like me and Brian. You should be able to talk to the person next to you or next to you after you've grown and gone through a process of maturity, and they should be able to do those things for you. That's what God wants for us. That's what biblical maturity is all about. And here's what the Bible would say. If you don't have high character and you don't have high competence, that's okay. But that's also a state of immaturity. It's a state of immaturity. Maturity is being like Jesus in who you are and what you do. In fact, let's look at a scripture where Paul talks about immaturity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3, Paul says this, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly." Worldly, mere infants. I gave you milk, worldly. That word simply means immature. We often think about the word worldly and say that's the evil people, right? But what Paul is saying here is you were worldly in the sense that you were really still defined by the culture of the world. See, the truth is there's a culture. And it swirls around us all the time. And I'll just tell you, if you just follow the stream, the current of the American culture, you will not look more like Jesus at the end of that process. Now, I know you didn't have to come to the next level to hear that, but I just figured I'd say that to you. You will not look more like Jesus because that culture is not based on the identity and the character of Jesus. And actually, that culture shifts and changes. There are things called trends, and all of a sudden, this is the popular thing to do. But the next thing, this is the popular thing to do. So there's a culture of the world. There's a culture that's opposed to Jesus. And then there's the culture of the kingdom of God. And this culture does not change. And this culture is fully embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is saying here is there's still this worldly culture in you, so I couldn't deal with you with solid food because you still had a level of immaturity. Now, here's the thing. Being worldly is not bad if it's temporary. Being worldly is not bad if it's temporary. It's okay to be immature. Who would shame a six-month-old because they can't run? You would. That's bad. If you do that, that's really bad. You're being worldly when you do. No, I'm just playing. So, you know, no, we would not do that, right? You wouldn't expect that of a six-month-old. Nobody shames a six-month-old because they can't run. We don't do that. And I want you to know the same is true in the spiritual sense. We do not want to put unrealistic expectations on new followers of Jesus around here. I want you to hear that very clearly. If you've been following Jesus for three, how many, I don't know, maybe some of you are in the room. We had a lot of people get baptized a couple weeks ago. Any of those people in the room? Awesome. Some of you, maybe you've been on a longer journey with Jesus. For others of you, man, that's a newer thing for you. I don't want to put expectations on a six-month-old that's following Jesus that I would put on somebody who's been following Jesus for 16 years. That's not what this is about. But here's what I would say. When that six-month-old has been following Jesus for 16 years, I would hope that there are things about their life that look more like Jesus than today. And the person who's been following Jesus 16 years, I would hope that at year 17, 18, 19, 20, there's things in our lives that look different because we're on a process of maturity. So that's what we're about. That's what we're about. Because that's the vision of growth that we have. Now, here's the great thing. You know, I think about this as a parent, right? My kids, I have two kids that are in, you know, pull-up slash diapers still. I can't wait till the day. I'm done with diapers. I'm done. I've changed my share of diapers. The day that I'm done with diapers, I'm going to straight up do the happy dance. I am. And here's the thing. Right now, my kids are at a developmental phase where it makes sense for them to be in pull-ups and diapers. But once they're done with that phase, I do not want to go back to that phase. And if they are 15 years old and still in that phase, that's a problem. We got a bigger problem, right? Unless they somehow don't have the capacity to mature. Here's what I want to encourage you. I want to let you know right from the beginning as we go on this journey, you have the capacity to mature. You have the capacity to grow because if you're in relationship with Jesus, You have this thing called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is your capacity to grow. And so I want you to know this is possible for you. So there might be some things that you hear at Next Level. There might be some things we ask you to do coming out of Next Level that feel a bit uncomfortable. And that's okay if it's temporary. And so I want you guys to know that. I want you guys to know that. Paul talks about, I couldn't give you solid food. I have to give you milk. Anybody been there the first time you gave a child solid food for the first time? Well, because I am storing up a digital war chest to use to embarrass my children when it comes to their engagement parties or weddings, I want to show you, we actually have a video of the first time we gave my now four-year-old, almost four-year-old son, Samuel, solid food. Take a look at this.
We're going to see if he eats some cereal again. We have not had great results, but we keep trying. Here we go. He's very interested in the tray and the approach. And... It's I'm going to say he gives it a minus two. But we will try again. Here we go. A little better that time. All right, three times a charm. Here we go. Third time's a charm, and... Mommy, what in the world?
So let's just suffice to say he didn't have a great first experience with food, right? You know, he wasn't digging it. And you know what the truth is? That's like some of us. There are some things that you're going to come across as you grow in your relationship with Jesus, and the first time you taste it, the first time you hear what the scripture teaches about something that may be a pet sin in your life, or the first time you hear about something that's a little bit of a stretch in terms of faith and trusting God with something you hold tightly to yourself, you might have a little bit of like Samuel's response. Really? This is what you want me to do? But the truth is, that's okay as long as it's temporary. I'm happy to report that Samuel is now able to eat solid food. He's able to eat solid food. That was taken today. That's a big piece of pizza. And yes, he finished the whole thing. So there's hope. There's hope. And I want you to know that that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to mature us. We're trying to go to a new place with God. And here's the thing. Character and competency require something. They require training. Training. Stephen Manuel has a great definition of training. Training, he says, is teaching, practice, and time. Teaching, practice, and time. That's what training is all about. Maybe some of you have seen this guy on your TV screens recently. Maybe some of you, like me, know that in an hour from now, we hope to see him tonight finish off the Houston Rockets. This is Steph Curry, for those of you who don't watch professional basketball. And you are looking at the best shooter ever in NBA history. That's who you're looking at right now. Recently, this guy was in a practice session, and he made 77 three-point shots in a row without missing one. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And you know what? The truth is, we could look at that and say, he's just incredibly talented. And yes, he is. I mean, at some point, he's incredibly talented. But this is a guy who also trains. This is a guy who has had teaching. He has had practice, and he has had time. In fact, I was reading about his pregame ritual. He shoots 110 shots in the 15 minutes before every NBA game that he plays in, 31 of them being three-point shots. There are 82 games in an NBA season. So just in his 15 minutes before every game, he shot 8,000 plus shots this year. That's probably more shots of basketball than everybody in this room has shot this year. So yes, he's talented, but there's also this aspect of teaching, training, and time. And I want you to know it's the same way when we're growing spiritually. There is power in teaching. But there's also power in training, and there's power in time. This kind of growth does not happen overnight. So I'm going to give you, again, just what the Bible says about maturity. There are actually five words in the Greek language. I love the Greek language because it's really precise. And they have a bunch of different words for things that in English we just have one word for. So one of the examples of this is the word child or son in the Greek language. There's actually five words, and these words indicate a progression over time of maturity. So one of the words is the word napios, which actually means infant. Think about the words prenatal. There's some words that come from that, right? Napios. The second is the word paideion. We have paideia schools around here. Paideion is about childhood. Then the next one is technon. Technon is the stage of adolescence. Fourth one is huios, which is a mature child or a mature son. This is the word that's usually referenced when Jesus is called a son. It's this word. And then finally is the word pater, which is a parent. Because the ultimate maturity of a child is that they can actually reproduce life, right? And not just reproduce life, but they can also father life and nurture life. Now, the thing about these words is none of these words, when they're used, have anything to do with how long you've known God or how long you've been a Christian. You can have someone who's been following Jesus for a year, and they can demonstrate huios or maturity in a way that somebody who's been following Jesus for 20 years is still at a paideion stage. That's not the way it should be. But the sad thing is, in too many cases in American Christians, that's actually the way it is. But I don't want that to be the case for us, because God's vision for us is that we would mature. And while these are male terms, because obviously there was a male-dominated society, the same is true for female maturity. So I'm just using these words to indicate spiritual maturity. Don't get caught up on the tenses or the genders of these words. So I just want to walk through these, and I want to give you some indicators. And I want you to know right off the bat, the goal of giving you these indicators is not to make you feel guilty. This is for all of us to be a guide. Because the truth is, if we're going to grow, we actually have to be honest about where we're starting from. So I just want to walk through what the Bible says about each of these words, the kind of follower of Jesus these words are used for. So napios, that word for infancy, would be the word that would be used for a follower of Jesus who is worldly. And again, worldly is not bad as long as it's temporary. This is someone, the Bible would say, is swayed by all kinds of teaching. So they might be swayed by teaching that, you know, kind of feels good in the moment, but may not necessarily give the challenge and truth of who Jesus is. This might be somebody who might be swayed by prosperity teaching. Teaching that's all about health, wealth, and prosperity and doesn't have anything to do with the depth of what it means to follow Jesus. There's some cost in following Jesus, too. I love that Jesus would bless me. And yes, he does bless me. That doesn't mean he doesn't call me to sacrifice and call me to other things. This is somebody who might be swayed by that and like that teaching but not want to hear more challenge beyond that. This may be someone who might be swayed by someone who says, well, you know what, you don't have the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues. This is the kind of teaching that makes a person struggle if they're at the napios phase. This is a person who is unfamiliar with the word. That's one of the reasons why they would struggle with some of those teachings. Great news, though, is even in infancy, we can praise God. We can praise. Everybody tonight had an opportunity to just call back out to God who he is and remember what he's been to you. And even in our infancy, we can receive revelation. We can hear from God, but we need instruction. We need guidance on how to interpret what we may be hearing from God. And again, the sad thing is some people stay here for a lifetime. That's the sad thing, if you stay there for a lifetime. We hope you move on. Moving on to paideion. Paideion, this is someone who the Bible would say is deficient in spiritual understanding. And again, that's not a bad thing as long as it's temporary. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And as I've learned what that means, Jesus is saying, blessed are the people who are actually unsophisticated on all the spiritual stuff. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus loves to grow people who are at this stage. These are people who receive the kingdom via trust. They just say, you know what? Jesus saved me. So I'm going where he's taking me. Simple faith. Beautiful. Beautiful faith. That's why Jesus says, if you have faith like a paideion, faith like a child, right? Jesus is talking about that because this is the kind of faith that we can have. So this is a person that says, hey, you know what? When I tell them in this room, you're going to mature, you know what they do? They just believe it. They just believe it. They don't question it. They don't say, well, what version is Chuck reading from right now? I don't know if I, you know. They just say, you know what? I believe that. I believe that's what God has for me. This is a person who is under authority. they're under authority. They're under someone else's authority. Hopefully there's someone who is guiding them, right? That's what the whole call to discipleship, reproducing the character and competence Jesus has given you in other people. That's what it's all about. And this is someone who's been humbled, and this is someone who is getting to know God intimately, and they are imitating Jesus. And then the next phase is technon. Technon is a person who is learning to deal with sin, the world, and the enemy. And the great analogy for this, I think, in human development is think of a 13-year-old. A 13-year-old is learning some things, right? I mean, there's a level of maturity that the 13-year-old needs to have. They may not have it yet, but they're learning to deal with some new things. They are absolutely, in the human sense even, learning to deal with the world, the flesh, and the enemy. I mean, they really are. And it's true in the spiritual sense as well. You know, for me, I think about this phase. This phase, for me, hit when I was in my teen years. You know, I was a person who grew up in the church, and at some point, as a child, I had a simple faith in Jesus, and I got baptized, and I followed Jesus as best as I knew at 8, 9, 10, 11. At some point, though, I began to get to a place where both because of the temptations I was facing, but also because of the journey I think God had me on, I had to move from it being mommy and daddy's faith to it being my faith. And it wasn't enough to just have that Sunday school teacher tell me in the Bible where things were. I had to go and find it for myself. And it was a journey of growing, of learning. I think that was my technon journey. This is the place where God began to deal with me about my sex life. This is the first time God began to deal with me about how I spend money and how I use money. There's some things that happened in this phase spiritually for me, and it just so happened to correspond to where I was in terms of my human development. And a technon is someone who is learning to deal with sin, the world, and the enemy. Spiritual warfare is actually adolescent work. They're learning to stay pure from idols and from vanity, things like idolizing sports teams or idolizing fitness or a body image, all of those things. They're learning to love selflessly. Learning to love selflessly and actively seeking God. They're actively seeking the Lord, and they are abiding. They are abiding in Jesus. And then you move to huios, and again, this is the word that usually is referencing Jesus whenever Jesus is called a son. And the huios lacks nothing regarding maturity. They have a full toolkit. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but they have a full toolkit. There are things certainly left to learn, left to grow, but there's a completeness to who they are. Again, that word mature, that word means complete. There's a completeness to who they are. This is a person who is led by the Spirit of God. They're not led by culture. They're not even led by their own emotions. They may be at times, but they're led by the Spirit of God. These are peacemakers. Man, these are the people you want around when there's conflict. These are the people you want to be able to help navigate difficulties in a marriage. These are the people you want to be working through issues on a team at work because there's a peacemaking spirit about them and they learn to love their enemies. These are people who have overcome the evil one. They live separate from the world. They urge and encourage other brothers and they have learned through suffering. I don't know anybody who gets to this place without suffering. So newsflash. I don't know anybody who gets this. There's something that is produced in you when you go through suffering, when you go through difficulty, that I just haven't found another way for God to recreate in me. I'm just telling you my story, and it's certainly the story of many other people I know. And again, this list is not about guilt. This list is a guide. So as you listen to this, where are you? Where are you? Wherever you are, Jesus is calling you to go to the next level. That's all I want you to hear in this. And ultimately, the goal is for all of us to reach pater, to reach the maturity where we could parent others spiritually, where we can imitate, we have an intimate knowledge of God, we can teach, exhort, which means challenge, we can encourage other believers as they go on their journey of maturity, and we can actually produce maturity in other people. Man, I want that. Anybody else want that? I want that. I think that's worth pursuing. So a couple things about these stages. All of these stages, in all of these stages, we need God's word and we need God's presence. You never mature to a point where you're independent of God, you're independent of the word, you're independent of depending on the Spirit. Actually, what I've learned is spiritual maturity is actually quick dependence on the word and quick dependence on the Spirit. That's actually maturity. If there's a delay between you going to the word and delay between you leaning into the Spirit, those are signs of immaturity. So none of us ever get to a place where we're beyond needing the word and we're beyond his presence. And that's why every time we get together, we're going to worship together because we encounter the presence of God through worship. When we sing collectively, this crazy thing happens where in some ways I feel like God just moves a little bit closer. And we can experience him in a more full way because we experience him through other people. And we will always be in the Word when we come together. So that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. And I want you to believe at the deepest levels of who you are, that's where you are headed. Because the truth is, you will reach maturity if you follow Jesus. You will. Why do I say that? Because the Word says that. Romans 8:29, this is a great promise. Take this to the bank. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Man, that's good news. That is good news. Because what that verse says is that literally the Holy Spirit is acting as a magnet that is pulling you to maturity. The Holy Spirit is pulling you to looking more like Jesus in your character. The Holy Spirit is pulling you and me to looking more like Jesus in our competency. It says those who he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. I love Hebrews 12:2. It says that God is the author, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Author means he begins the process. Finisher means whatever he begins, he finishes. That's good news. So it's your destiny to be mature. This is God's problem. How about that? How about my maturity is God's problem. That's pretty awesome. That doesn't absolve me of ownership, but that's the good news. You know why? Because every good father, think about this, every good father who has a child, particularly when that child is in infancy or when that child is in adolescence, no father who is worth their salt says, son, you got to figure out a way to grow up. Every father who's a good father says, it is my responsibility to grow my son to maturity, to grow my daughter to maturity. Every good mother feels that way about their daughter and their son. It is my responsibility. And we have a heavenly father who says, I am going to grow you up. I am going to mature you. I am going to bring you into the image of my son. So that's the good news. I also need to give you a warning. And I want you to hear this warning very clearly at the outset of Next Level. And again, this warning is also from the scripture. In the book of James, the letter in the New Testament that's written to early followers of Jesus, James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if you come to Next Level every month and you say, that worship is awesome, I am not missing a Next Level. I'm coming. And you hear the word, you hear good preaching, because you're going to hear good preaching in Next Level. I think I'm preaching good right now, but that's just me. You didn't have to respond to that. You didn't respond to that. You're going to hear good preaching. Here's the thing. But if you hear and engage in good worship, and you hear good preaching, and you walk out of here and do nothing different with your life, what does this verse say? You will be deceived. You will be deceived. So I want to encourage you, as a pastor, I want to encourage you, if right now you know that you're going to come here and you're going to engage in worship and you're going to hear good teaching, but you're not going to do anything in between the months to go to the next level, I want to give you freedom to not come back after tonight. Because you actually do yourself worse harm if you get more information, but you don't work it to a place where it moves into transformation in your life. And I don't want that for you. But if you want to grow, if you're ready to apply, this is going to be an awesome place for you. This is going to be an awesome place. I think God's going to do some incredible things in our midst. I'm going to skip some slides, guys, and I want to just talk about then how this is going to work. How is this going to work at Next Level? Three things we're going to do every time we kind of have this experience of Next Level, because it's not just tonight, but actually you're opting into a curriculum. You're opting into a program. The first thing is we are going to give you exposure. We're going to give you exposure, and that happens in here. That's what we're doing tonight. There's going to be teaching. Not going to be the same length of teaching all the time. There's a lot of groundwork we're going to lay tonight, but we're going to give you teaching, exposure to skills and to things that will form your character. But that's not the end of the experience. The next thing that's going to happen is we want you to experiment. Experiment. Tomorrow, you're going to receive a text, and that text is going to have an experiment based on what we've talked about tonight, something for you to do. I want you to read it, and I want you to do it within a week. I want you to carve out time to do it within a week. Sometimes these experiments are going to be things around prayer. Sometimes they'll be things around action. Sometimes they're going to cost you something. They will always cost you time. You know why? Because growth is not free. Growth will cost you something. And so I want you to be ready to pay that cost. Pay that cost of obedience. Pay that cost of whatever the action is. And trust that God is going to meet you in the midst of that and take you to a new place. So tomorrow you get an experiment. I want you to do that experiment within a week. And then the third piece of this is exchange. Exchange. Because the great news is we cannot and we do not grow alone. And so we want everybody who's involved in Next Level to have a small group of people, 3 to 5 people, with whom you can process the experiment you get. So about 2 weeks from now, you're going to receive another text, and it's a discussion guide based on the experiment you receive. And what we want everybody to do is get in a group. Now, I know a lot of people in here, you're already in an active group. Some of you may be here with, you know, your huddle. If you don't know what a huddle is, don't worry about that. But some people are in these things called huddles. Maybe you continue to meet with your Brave group, and you guys are in this experience together. Maybe you just have people you've been in a small group with for a long time. How many people are in an active group? Like, you still meet with these people on a regular basis. They're coming to Next Level, and you could actually process this experience. I want to see a show of hands. I want to see a show of hands. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really encouraging. Now, I know that everybody doesn't have that. And if you don't have that, that's what the text that you receive, that you probably already looked at, that's what that's about. So if you're not in a group, then here's what you're going to do coming out of tonight. You're going to create a group. Yeah, you're going to create a group. Because again, this is about challenge, right? So if this is the weekend, we would say, we've created groups for you. We haven't done that, but we've created a way for you to be in a group. So I think we have some screenshots. When you click on the link, the second link that you receive, it's going to take you to our Find a Group tool where you can start a small group. If you did this for Brave, it's the same tool. But when you go there, on the drop-down option, there's a Next Level option. So we want you guys who need to be in a group to go out and create Next Level groups. Create a group, and I would encourage you to just keep it simple. If you want to say, I attend Oakley, awesome, but I would just pick the day of the week and the time of day that you can meet, and I would keep the rest of it really open to all options. I wouldn't make this super specific unless you absolutely feel like you need to have just guys or just when that's odd, but I would just say, well, actually, we do want that. So if you want to just, it'd be best to do this with same sex. It would be. I just thought about that in this moment. It would be best because of what you're going to be processing and sharing. Not ideal, but if you could, that would be awesome. So, but go ahead and create groups. And then everybody who needs a group, jump on that tool. You've got the link. Jump on that tool and find a group. Find a group. You got 2 weeks before you have to meet. So find a group. Make connections. Make it work. Maybe you have someone, like Brian said, that you want to invite into Next Level. And you're like, hey, I'm going to invite that person, and they can be one of the people that I do these exchanges with. Whatever it takes, we want you to get in a small group. Because that's going to be the way that you go to the next level when you get a chance to process in community what you're learning. And so I'm just encouraging you to do that. Because where we're headed is maturity. That's where we're headed. And one of the things, we talked about this in a series we did last year called Next. We talked about this spiritual growth framework and how we kind of think about growth around here. I think we have an image of that right now. Because what we said is all of us begin at a journey with Jesus of seeking. And these are folks who say, hey, you know what, I'm not sure if I even buy into the Jesus thing or not. I'm not sure if I believe the Bible is actually true. I don't know if I should bend my life to it. The great thing about that is we have people in the weekend who are starting at that point, and that's awesome. We may have people in here who are at that point. If you're at that point and you're in here, man, you're going to be on an accelerated track. I'll just tell you that right now. but at some point, most of us in this room probably said, yes, I'm in. I believe Jesus is God. I believe Jesus is Lord, and I believe he's my Savior. Maybe you've gotten baptized already, and you are in relationship with him. So you're a receiver. You're at a place where you're saying, I want everything he has for me. I want to learn about Jesus. I need to learn how to read the Bible. I need to learn how to follow and hear God's voice. That's where I'm at in my journey. And as you do that more and more, you grow to become a follower, someone who says, you know what, more and more of my life is under the authority of Jesus as my King. And ultimately, you move to a place where you say, you know what? I can actually help someone else on the journey that I've been on. Now, earlier, we took that survey, and that survey was really meant to give us a sense of where we are as a community across that spectrum. Would you like to see the results? Yeah. I would, too. So I'm hoping we have them. Do we have results? We do have results. Look at this. So this is based on all of the sites who are in all of the rooms right now, including a living room in Clifton. They're actually doing this in a living room in Clifton. I think that's really cool. All of the people who took the survey, and that, what this would say is about what we think about our community, particularly as you look at that receiver place right there. 36% of people self-identified, you guys, self-identified as receivers, 34% followers, 28% producers. And I want you to know what we're doing at Next Level is focused on helping all of us move, I think we have a slide on this, from receiver to follower. So what we're trying to do is take that 36% and we're trying to move that 36% into followership, ultimately so that they can begin to produce and reproduce the character and the competence of Jesus. So that's where we're headed. So if you're in that place, this is for you. If you're a follower, there are going to be things here that you might say, I've covered that already. There might be some new things, but there are going to be things you say, I covered that already. And if you're a producer, my hope is you are here with receivers or followers that you are helping to get to where you are. And if you're a producer and you're not producing and reproducing your faith, you need to be doing that. And guess what? We're doing this thing next Friday called The Launch, which is all about helping people who are producers reproduce that. You need to go to that thing. If you don't know anything about that, you need to talk to somebody at the info center, or you need to find out, because you need to be there. We need you in that room. Some of you know about that. Some of you may not. But that's where we're headed in this journey. And one of the things we're always going to do when we get together, and we're going to do it right now, so I'm going to invite the band to come up, and I'm going to invite our volunteers to come and take their stations, is we're going to receive communion together. Because here's the thing about that spiritual framework I just talked about. You really never, quote-unquote, graduate from all of those phases. Can I just tell you that there are places in my journey with Jesus where I feel like I am seeking him in a fresh way? Things I thought I knew about Jesus that clearly I was wrong on. And so there's a seeking journey that continues for me. Now, I'm settled on some things. I'm settled on him being God. I'm not seeking him about that. I'm settled on being my king. I'm not seeking him about that. But there are new things that I'm seeking him on. And I am always, and we are always at a place where we need to be receiving. I've learned, just kind of being a spiritual leader type, that the only thing I can really give to you guys is what I've received. That's really all I have to give away, is what Jesus has given me. So there's always a place for receiving, for following in fresh ways, new places where he's calling me to come under his authority as king. And there's new things to reproduce in the life of other people. So every time we get together, for me, communion is a great grounding point, because for every follower of Jesus, communion reminds us that ultimately this journey begins with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. And that's what grace is all about. That's what grace is all about. So every time we come together and we have communion, we're reminded by the bread that it represents the body of Christ, the body that was broken for us. Jesus broke himself for us on the cross so that we could have this right relationship with God, and we could have the Holy Spirit indwell in us. He broke himself for that. So we take that piece of bread to remember the broken body of Jesus for us. And we have wine and we have juice. Wine is in a wine glass. Juice is in a juice goblet. And that represents the blood of Jesus. And we dip. We are a dipping church, not a sipping church. I always like to remind us of that. We dip in that juice or wine as a reminder of the blood that cleanses us from all sin. And so tonight, we're going to do that. We're going to do that as a way to ground ourselves. And as you take communion tonight, I just want you to let this be a declaration to Jesus. It doesn't have to be to anybody in this room, but between you and Jesus, to say, I'm going to be a part of this because I want to receive all that you have for me, Jesus. I'm going to be a part of Next Level because I want to receive the maturity that you have for me. I want to receive an ability to hear your voice. I want to receive that, because for the next several months, that's where we're going to hunker down. We're going to focus on the skills of being a receiver. Communion is a great way to orient ourselves to that place. So for all who would receive, the table of the Lord is open. You can come and have communion. We've got stations in the front here. We've got stations along the back and also in the second balcony. First balcony along the back as well.
Transgressions, there is none greater, there is none.
don't you guys stand up and sing that song with us again? You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, Jesus. Yes. So Jesus, we give all of this to you. This is all for your glory. This is all for the fame of your name. God, everything that we do in Next Level, we want to dedicate it to your fame, to your glory, to your name being spread over our city and over our world. Because you deserve it all. You are worthy of it all. And you deserve all of our glory. And we give it to you. And we will give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. Do your experiments, get in a group, and come back next month. This is going to be awesome. Really good.
Yours is the name above our name.